A weak solidarity brickie team, listener, when in the We Can't Add to That department, True Blue Aussie Capitalist Review headline Tuesday, company profits up as wages fall. It says it all. Profits up, great news. Wages fall, even greater news. Good for all of us. Profits rose 4% in the September quarter, aided, the article admitted, by $10 billion in state and federal corporate welfare, while wages dropped 0.8%, aided by no government handouts. The same week, petrol prices, for instance, rose 2.5%. No problem in filling up the company car, but maybe a bit more of a problem for those who need their car to get to the company or wherever they want to go. And on the opposite page to that exciting news about company profits and worker non-profits, headline to warm the hearts of all who believe in the greatest little economic order of them all. Militant union must pay $2.2 million over strike. Well, plus a bit more in costs and things and a few thousand more in fines on a couple of evil maritime union officials who had the criminal audacity back in 2017 to call for industrial action after Pat Pricks and Club the Workers. A slight but necessary diversion here. Pat Pricks and Club the Workers, who have done so much over so many years to make work on the waterfront so much better for the lazy, avaricious, unproductive workers who so care, or they so care about. How could evil unions even consider industrial action against these model caring employers? Well, they did. Just because Pat Prick set up a section of the waterfront under Club the Workers, employing non-union labour, leading the out-of-control union to allege it was attempting to de-unionise the workforce. As if, and at least the non-union labour, which is after all their legal right, non-union labour was not ex-train killers trained in Dubai to scab or, oh, sorry, illegal word, do a more than fair day's work for less than a fair day's pay. His Honour understandably tore strips off the evil union for this total disregard for the law, advising it wisely that rather than pay millions in fines, its members' dues could be directed toward lawfully advancing the interests of the union's members. Good point, Your Honour. Except that seemed to be exactly what they were doing. So there it is, profits up, wages down, an evil union put in its place. What a good week. And it got even better. For as the lawless union and workers continued to accuse good Pat Pricks of not taking negotiations seriously, Big Supremo Scuttle Them More Lash Son, a.k.a. ScoMo, had had enough. He will take the union to court to have the limited ability it has to take legal industrial action, protected action, declared unprotected. Because he's sick to death of the union and workers destroying the national economy and everyone's Christmas with it. So you're intervening on one side of the dispute? Certainly not. I'm attacking the union, quite properly attacking the union, and not attacking their caring employer, which has a magnificent record of promoting reform on the waterfront. But that is taking sides. How can you say that? I have taken both sides into consideration. And it gets even better. Big economic guru Josh Friedem Icebergs has got that Institute of Class-Balanced Neoliberal Style, the Productivity Con Mission, to investigate why there are problems with the maritime supply chain. And no betting on where they'll finger the blame. Clue, it won't be Pat Pricks. And just when we thought it couldn't get any better, it gets even better. The evil CFMEU and its officials were fined more than $2 million for upsetting a crane company which exercised its right not to enter a union agreement. Or as the True Blue Aussie smashed the evil construction union's jackboots con mission supremo Stephen McBurney, the workers explained sensibly, the union action strikes at the very heart of the protections contained in the Fair Work True Blue Aussie No Longer Work Choices Just Looks Like It Act and the Smash the Evil Union's Jackboots Improving Productivity Act. Protections, Stephen. Yes, workers must be protected from evil unions. But what about their right to join a union? That right must be exercised with great discretion to ensure it does not interfere in their lives and poison their wonderful win-win relationship with their good, caring employer. Who's such an exciting week. And the improving productivity in the Act's title shows we can't improve productivity if unions are involved. And caring employers who are so concerned about slow wages growth assure us we can't resolve slow wages growth until we improve productivity. But if evil unions are an impediment to productivity, then this exposes even more blatantly the drain evil unions are on wage growth. So the caring business class government's on the right track, making any union action on behalf of workers totally illegal. It's the government fighting to win higher wages for lazy, avaricious workers. Oh, and it's considering a jackboots con mission similar to the construction jackboots con mission to cover maritime workers, showing that even though they are so out of control, the government still cares for them. Sadly, just one not-so-good news story this week. Poor great supermarket caring employer Kills Your Budget was sprung for underpaying thousands of workers more than $115 million over the past 3 years. Poor Kills Your Budget. It must be devastated, which just shows the moral difference between caring employers and evil unions. The unions upset caring employers by deliberately breaking the law by acting on behalf of their members, while Kills Your Budget is another example of a poor caring employer making a small $115 million inadvertent mistake. Any wonder the government is so intent on further tightening laws to protect us from evil unions. And this one really confuses me. Yet another report, this time from the Workplace Gender Equality Agency, urges the government to force large companies to set and meet targets to reduce the gender pay gap and increase the number of women in the workforce. Hang on, what were we celebrating back in 1972-73 when the courts ordered equal pay for equal work, and we thought, therefore, we were celebrating equal pay for equal work? Oh, they must have given caring employers time to adjust to this new impediment to productivity and progress for having to pay women, because caring employers need certainty. And women caused more problems as the Sex Discrimination Commissioner brought down a report into rampant sex discrimination in the seat of government. Rampant sexual harassment and assault, ScoMo said there was nothing he wasn't aware of. And the inquiry followed a caring business class party staffer bravely going public over an alleged rape in the House of Sexual Harassment and Assault. So if you knew about it, ScoMo, why didn't you do something about it? I did. I waited for this report. So now you'll act. Certainly. I will call for a report on how we can deal with this report. And a caring business class party member told the ABC yesterday morning she had had no problems with coalition members, but had been subject to sexism from Socialist Party members. So the Socialist Party is the problem, the interviewer interviewed. Oh no, I didn't mean to make it party political. Right. She just happened to mention the Socialist Party. Perhaps she mistook the Education Minister as a member of the Socialist Party after he celebrated the damning report by being accused of sexual power games, harassment and violence, which he of course denies, but nonetheless Tudge was given a nudge. And the interesting sideline was that the alleged violence occurred after he visited Kalgoorlie to introduce a cashless debit card that would ban the purchase of alcohol, then headed off and got pissed out of his mind, which mightn't take much piss to get out of, but showing there's absolutely no hypocrisy as far as that lot's concerned. As the Socialist Party courageously came up with a compromise climate change, if there is such a thing, policy that would not allow the government to attack it, that great contributor to the environment, Adani the Planet, wants the government to introduce specific laws to prevent these bloody environmentalists who refuse to accept the great benefits of exporting trillions of tons of old King Coal from blocking the trains taking that coal to the ports so it can head off to do its bit for the planet. Activists get nothing but a slap on the wrist and are back within weeks. A Brabus spokeswoman complained. See, it changed its name. Surely it didn't think Adani the Planet was on the nose. Everyone has the right to express their opinion, provided they are doing so in a way that is legal. She was all understanding. And, of course, is totally ineffective. Scuttleman got very excited when advice Omicron had arrived. Great, great, he's decided to talk to me at last. That'll help my election campaign. No, Mr. Cipriano, Omicron, not Macron. There's every chance, of course, Macron isn't all that upset about our nuclear venture, but just doesn't want to talk to him. We can't blame him. Like in Rome and Glasgow last month, when ScoMo was seen wandering around trying to find someone who would talk to him. Perhaps he could adopt his favourite solution, technology, not taxes, and get someone to make a robot that's programmed to talk to him. Although that's a bit dangerous because it would prove to be a lot more intelligent and would ultimately die or rust or whatever robots do from boredom. Talking to himself, ScoMo attacked critics who suggest the Minister for Train Killing and Being Offensive, Constable Peter Duffer, is warmongering in his desperation to attack evil China. As we said last week, like a chihuahua itching to take on a Rottweiler with only one possible result. It's a tribute to his intelligence that he thinks we could. But given they're aware the only way we can have peace is to attack evil China, let's recommend we revert to the days of yore when leaders who declared war led the cannon fodder into battle. Give them a chance to practice their convictions and wear that iconic slouch hat they so revere. Constable Duffer also iterated that roaming the oceans with nuclear-powered submarines did not breach the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. A bit more detail wouldn't have hurt, but no, he must be right because the Socialist Party agrees with him. Which finally, sadly brings us to, in one of the most disgraceful attacks ever in the history of parliamentary democracy, Socialist Party Supremo and would-be Big Supremo Anthony Albanese called poor Pete Buffhead. Goodness gracious, where would that have come from? Good morning.